Today on our feature, we're joined by Chip Flory. He's the editorial director of Pro Farmer and also host of Market Rally. And Chip, of course, you're out in Iowa. The reason I wanted to call was you probably right now thinking about the Pro Farmer Crop Tour coming up this summer. We're seeing a lot of questions about acreages, government reports. Where do you come down on what we're going to see eventually here this growing season?
Well, yeah, one of the things that we need to keep in mind is the amount of corn that went in the ground this last week, in the week ending May 3rd, is going to be unbelievable. It feels to me, Roger, like we're going to be breaking some records, and if not for the U.S. on corn planting progress in 1 week, there are going to be areas and crop districts within some of the states that are going to see that corn go in the ground at a record pace. Some of the areas may go from 15 to 20% done to 70% done in just the matter of a week. And with that much corn going in the ground at one time and this early in the season, it tells me a couple of things when we're thinking about the crop tour. Number one, we're probably going to be looking at a corn crop in the third week of August when we're out there on tour that's fairly mature. And when we're out there looking at a crop that's fairly mature, it just raises my confidence in the numbers that we're collecting. The tour works best on when the crop is more mature, and because of this quick planting progress fairly early in the season, I'm looking forward to the tour and getting out there and getting some really good data. The other thing that I think about when we consider how much corn has gone in the ground in just 1 week is let's go out about 10 weeks from now, get into that, second week of August, second week of July, something like that, is when we're probably going to be seeing as much as 50% of the corn crop pollinating and starting to fill kernels. So the weather, as always, but I think it's especially true this year because we've concentrated our pollination period. When you concentrate your planting period, you're also concentrating your pollination period, and it's going to be extremely critical that first, July, let's call it July 7th through the 15th is going to be an unbelievably important period of time for this corn crop.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure most people probably don't, at least traders, think about that as a possibility.
Right. What I've said on Market Rally, Roger, is that I don't want to be an alarmist over this because it could be beautiful weather at that time. It could be gorgeous. It could be perfect for the crop. But we can't lose sight of the fact that we have concentrated our pollination and early kernel fill period.
Indeed. Well, do you think with this tremendous planting progress, and as we look at the calendar, only May 3rd, that some producers may opt to put in more corn than they intended?
You know, they could. But if they do, Roger, they're going to be in. It's going to be the guys that have got good control of their land costs in particular. Those are the guys that might decide, hey, let's get a few more bags of seed corn in here and throw some more corn in the ground because things are going so well. But when you get into the areas that are traditionally a higher rotation area, I don't think that this planting season is going to move the needle much on the mix. The reason that I'm saying that is because here in northeast Iowa and east central Iowa, for example, where rotation is fairly consistent year to year, there are guys that have already that are at least half done on soybean plantings, and a few big operations, Roger, are done planting beans already. And so that tells me if they pulled the plug on their corn planting already and have wrapped up on soybean, some of the bigger operations, I would think that that we're not going to see a major shift in acres because of the planting pace. Now, I'm still in the camp that we're going to see another 200, maybe 300,000 acres of corn planted than what USDA indicated at the end of March. But I'm also thinking that the bean number was a little bit too low and that we need to add a couple hundred thousand acres to the bean planting total that we got at the end of March from USDA too. So we may see some higher numbers, but I don't think it's because of the planting pace, not this year.
Well, we traditionally think about the main part of the Corn Belt, but this year there's been some real struggles from the Ohio Valley South. Do you anticipate any change of acreage mixes there?
Yeah. They did lose some corn acres down south. They did lose some corn acres in what I call the southeast corn belt, Kentucky, Tennessee. And then when you get into the far eastern corn belt, Ohio, over into eastern Indiana, they're still struggling to get that good start. But once you get into western Indiana, move on through Illinois, boy, this planting season really went by in a hurry for a lot of guys out there, and they stuck a lot of corn in the ground. So we're going to lose some acres there down in the south and in Kentucky, Tennessee. I think that because of the market conditions that are out there right now, a lot of it's going to go to sorghum, Roger. And just a word of warning on that, if you decide because of the market conditions to replace some of your intended corn acres with sorghum, make that sale. Lock in the price that's available to you right now.
Yeah, and I assume that's partially because of the big demand coming out of China for sorghum.
That's exactly right. And you know what it's like. I mean, sorghum exports into China for us, it, some of the feed mills in China are kind of doing an end run around the government regulations. And you know what happens when you start doing an end run around the Chinese government. They find a way to stop it. And that's my big concern, is that they're going to find a way to stop some of those sorghum imports.
Yeah, it seemed like I just saw something last week, late in the week, about some concern with that regard.
Yeah, I don't... They may not do anything, but I would be shocked if they do nothing, okay? It is much more likely that China is going to do something to limit those imports of sorghum from the U.S. They've got way too much corn domestically, Roger. They've got to use the stuff up. The problem is that they've got this pricing scheme over there that's all intended to support the Chinese farmer, and you know what it's like. I mean, it just backfires on them, and supply side management just doesn't work, and China's finding it out again.
Well, and isn't that also true with soybeans, that they have a lot of soybeans stockpiled?
Yeah, they've got a lot of soybeans stockpiled, and they're going to continue to build that stockpile. They are starting to take some of the incentive away from the soybean producers in China to reduce the acres even further, push them over to corn, wheat, and rice production. But when they build up their soybean stocks, it's not near nearly the burden on the market as when they build up their feed grain stocks. And right now they're at a time when they've got some high feed grain stocks, and it's really difficult to get that weight off of prices.
Do they, because of the size of and the amount of corn that they have, several years ago they were a corn exporter. Yeah. Do they get into the export market?
I don't think anybody wants that corn, to be honest with you, Roger. I think a lot of it's in pretty poor condition. I mean, South Korea might step in and take some of it because they're consistently a price buyer and not all that concerned about the quality of what they're importing. But beyond that, I don't think anybody's really going to want that corn. No, I think what they do is they slowly work down those stocks and try to manage it through use rather than through exports. But who knows? You know, they could step in and export some of it, and if they do, that would be negative for the markets.
Well, it's hard to find much positive for the markets right now.
It is. That is exactly right. And that's a conversation that I've been having with guys on Market Rally here for the last couple of weeks, is that the story just hasn't changed. And to get a change in the price attitude and what's going on in the markets, you've got to have a change in the story. You got to change the conversation that's taking place. And there's nothing to change that conversation right now. I mean, and if anything, it's getting a little bit more negative as bird flu continues to spread across Iowa and Minnesota.
Well, and are there still some pretty good-sized piles of corn sitting outside up in Iowa?
No, No. There is, you know, it's amazing to me, but we harvested a record crop last year, and the number of piles of corn out there were, if anything, I would say that we had fewer bushels in outside storage than what we had in the past, and the reason there is because we've put up so much new steel. we've got we've got a lot of shiny bins out here in Iowa and even into southern Minnesota that are holding their first crop, and they're, unfortunately, they're still holding a lot of corn.
Well, a lot of economists would suggest that this may be a money-losing crop this for 2015, particularly the corn crop, depending on land costs. Are you seeing any effect on land values at this point?
Yeah, we're seeing land values pull back a little bit. And it's in the areas that last year may have had a good crop but not a great crop. And I'm going to throw almost all of Iowa and eastern Nebraska up into South Dakota, southern Minnesota into that pool. The difference here is that southern Minnesota and even parts of northern Iowa, once you get away from northwest Iowa, but in north central Iowa and into northeast Iowa, where we really struggled in 2013 and 14 to get the crop planted, we never saw the real hard push to the upside on land values. Therefore, when we're going through this downside correction, we're not seeing much pressure on the market either. And it's kind of a unique situation in those areas. Then when you get into the central, when you get into Illinois, Indiana, where we did see the record yields last year, yeah, the poor quality ground, sometimes it feels like the bottom is falling out of that market. But when you get into the mid-range ground or the highly productive ground, boy, there's still a lot of strength in the market over in the Eastern Belt. I think we see some pressure on land values as we work through this year. I think we see some continued pressure into 2016. But I don't, you know, there are some people out there that are saying that we're going to be into a land value collapse. I don't see that happening. We're just not putting enough land out on the market, making it available to buyers. And it seems like every piece of ground that comes available out there, there's at least two guys that want it because it fits into their operation. Well, when you get two guys that want something, a lot of times it might sell for a little bit more than what the market should be supporting. And I think that continues. I do think, though, Roger, that as we work through the end of 2015 and into early 2016, we're going to see that pressure on the rental rates, the cash rental rates that a lot of people, including myself, have been expecting.
Well, and I guess the other thing, and kind of closing out here, like last night, for the last 2 to 3 weeks here in this part of central Illinois, they keep talking rain. Yeah. We're getting pretty dry. How is it? Isn't basically some of the northern belt dry as well?
Dude, oh yeah, there is no question about it. And last night I was we were treated to a world of a lightning storm last night, and we did get some rain. We had about 0.3 inches at home, and 0.3 inches at home there, but it wasn't as much rain as what the storm would indicate, and the wind blew like a son of a gun and everything, but. We're supposed to get more rain this week, and some of that rain is supposed to move into the northern areas of the Corn Belt, up into Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota in particular, where it is very dry. And if we don't get those rains up there this week, we'll be starting to change the conversation in the corn market.
Indeed. Well, last question. Yeah. What's the odds of... last year we had, in this area at least, and throughout the country, you might say record corn and soybean production. Do we repeat? Can we repeat both crops with record production or near record as far as yields this year?
We can. We cannot rule that out yet. I would say that the odds of it happening are less than 25%, but it could happen. More likely is something coming in closer to a trend line yield in that 165 to 167 range. You know, that may be another 50% of your odds pool, and then you got to start thinking about what's going on up in the upper Midwest and the potential to maybe pull down our national average yield a little bit below that 165 range. And as things stand right now, we've put ourselves in a position where we can get back to that record yield. It's just going to be really tough to do it because last year, for too many people, it was too good last year. It'd be really tough to repeat that.
Indeed. Well, as always, we thank you. And mid-August, the older I get, we'll get here quicker than I realize.
That's right, Roger. It happens to me too, man.
And again, Chip Flory, he is the editorial director for Pro Farmer and also the host of Market Rally. And so apparently, we'll see how we go through, but I had not given any thought to the idea that a lot of corn around the Corn Belt is going to be pollinating at the exact same time. So a week of bad weather at the wrong time could change things dramatically.